Again, I always like to thank you for taking your time to be here in the house of the Lord each Sunday. It is always good to see you. And I hope and pray that the Lord has been good to you this week and in your journeys with Him. And today is another good Sunday, I believe. I say every Sunday is a good Sunday, which I believe it is. And I feel that way, you know, and I spend a lot of time trying to listen to the Lord and what He says. And so today is no different. And so today, I'm going to ask you this morning, I titled this message this morning, what we'll be sharing with you, what is in your heart today? That's the question. What is in your heart today? What's growing in your heart today? That's something to think about for the next little bit. Think about what's growing in your heart today. And I want to read some scripture to you out of Isaiah chapter 58, starting in verse 11, to get started with this morning. And I want to tell you, first of all, that would you agree with me if I were to say to you that your heart is like a garden? I've never been a farmer. I know there's people in here that have farmed, or family members that have farmed. I've never been really good at growing plants. I planted some tomato plants in my backyard. Remember that time, Pam? And those things got huge, and they even had blossoms on them. But they never would produce any tomatoes. And I thought, well, what's wrong with these plants? So then I got talking to some of the guys at work about why my tomato plants were so huge and had blossoms on them, but they never did produce any tomatoes because they were always in the shade. My backyard is shaded. Those plants never did produce one tomato. Now, if they'd have been in the sun, then I would have probably had an abundance of tomatoes. But I didn't know that. So say, I'm not a very good gardener. But what about your spiritual garden? You know, the thing is, you have to tend your spiritual garden. Amen? Because guess what happens when you don't? Weeds get in. Things get in. Things get in, they start growing. Those weeds start growing, and they get bigger, and they get bigger. And then they start to choke out the Word of God. Amen? They start to choke out God's Word, God's instructions. Then the next thing you know, what happens to your spiritual garden, to your spiritual heart? It becomes dry. And then it becomes lifeless. And then after that, it dies. Amen? That's exactly what happens. So you can see this morning, church family, how important it is. You can see very clearly how important it is that you work and tend to your garden, your spiritual heart. Because if you don't work at it, it's going to be overgrown with things that's going to choke out. The world can come in very easily and choke out the Word of God. Amen? Because sometimes when you become more focused on the world instead of on what God's Word is, that's what happens. The world gets in your heart, it gets in there and it starts to grow, and then you start paying more attention to what's going on in the world than you do following God's Word. And then your life starts falling apart. Your faith starts falling apart. Your love for God starts falling apart. Your desire to come to church starts decreasing. Next thing you know, you're not in church anymore. Next thing you know, you're not sitting at home reading your Bible anymore. Next thing you know, you're spending more time in the world. And that's how it happens. Your garden is being taken over by things that are not of God. And then you become dry. And then your spiritual life becomes lifeless. And then you don't have a zeal anymore to pray unto the Lord, or to even hear what God's got to say to you. And then that's when you stop becoming fruitful. And then you might even start becoming unfruitful. You might be growing things that are not even fruitful at all. But let me tell you what Isaiah says here in chapter 58 in verse 11. Isaiah writes in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 11, he writes that the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land, and He will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Listen, and you know what that tells me is? You know what that says to me this morning, church family? It tells me that God is going to help you. It tells me that God is there for us. Listen, I want to tell you this morning something. Even when Philip don't love the Lord still loves Philip. Amen? When you don't love the Lord sometimes, when you're mad at God sometimes, guess what? God still loves you just the same. It don't matter what you do. It don't matter how far you try to get away from God. Guess what? God still loves you. Do you believe that this morning, church family? Can you say amen to that? Praise God. Hallelujah this morning. That's how much God loves you this morning. It don't matter what you do. It don't matter how mad you are at God, how mad you can get at God, or how mad you can be at God. God still loves you the same. And He's going to be there for you. But listen, what I just read to you, it says if you follow the instructions of God's Word, you're going to be like a well-watered garden. You're going to grow. And God wants you to grow this morning. He wants you to spiritually grow. Listen, I got a lot of growing to do. Anybody else? You feel like you've grown as far as you can go? Anybody? I've got a lot of growing to do. Your pastor this morning, I'm still growing. I'm getting stronger every day. My garden, I still have to work my garden. Every day I have to work my garden. Because you know, if you don't cover up seed, you know what? I was on a field a few weeks ago, and this is what my job was. My job was to scatter, and I had to reach in that bucket, and I had to scatter turnip seeds. We were planting a green field. But you know what happens? They had another guy on a four-wheeler, and he had this little forky-looking thing he was pulling behind him, and he was covering up those seeds. But guess what happens when you don't cover up the seed? The birds of the air come and they snatch them away. They eat them up. They devour them. And let me tell you what happens this morning when the Word of God gets in your heart. And oh, Satan, if you don't guard your heart, God's Word tells us, and Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says to guard your heart, not to lose heart. We got to guard our heart. Listen, if you got to guard your heart this morning, that means you got to guard the Word of God, because Satan is waiting to come in and snatch it away from you. He wants to cause you all kinds of problems in this world. He wants you to get your attention off of God and on the world. And guess what he does when you do that? When you take your eyes off of God, when you take your eyes and your devotion off of God, Satan comes right in and he snatches the Word of God away from you. Anybody believe that this morning? And he devours the Word of God. That he says, this is your instructions this morning, church family. This right here. You want to know how to have a beautiful garden? You ever seen your neighbor? You ever had that one neighbor that you always wondered how his grass was greener than yours? How did that guy get that carpet-looking grass? You know how he got it? And your grass looks like it's dead as a hammer. And you tried everything. You heard so-and-so tell you, well, if you put this on there, it'll be like his yard. And it just got worse and worse and worse. But you know how that guy with the luscious green grass gets it to be that way? He does a lot of reading. He does a lot of research. He don't just go out to the store and buy whatever to put on that grass. He knows. He knows. He learns. He learns what to do and how to do it. And when he's standing back looking at his grass, and he's maybe looking at your grass, he may be like, man, that guy's yard looks terrible, but mine looks luscious and green and thick and just full. See, that's the way God is. When you take the Word of God, His instructions, when you follow the Word of God and His instructions, then you're going to have a luscious garden. Amen? You're going to have a bountiful garden. And you're going to have things in your garden that's going to grow. You're gonna have faith so tall that you thought, man, that's just so great. I got faith is the size of a mountain. You're gonna have love in your garden. You're gonna have compassion in your garden. You're gonna have mercy in your garden. And you're gonna have things in your garden that you want there. And you're gonna look at your garden, you're gonna say, I don't got nothing in this garden here that don't belong. Because everything that you should have in your garden today, in your heart today, in your spiritual life today, should be straight from the Lord. Amen? That's the only thing you should have in your heart today. You come to church every Sunday. You love the Lord. Anybody love the Lord here today? Can I see your hand? Amen. I know you love the Lord this morning, because if you didn't, you wouldn't be here. But listen, your garden this morning, your spiritual condition of your heart this morning, you got to take inventory. You got to look and see what's inside your heart this morning to see if there's anything in there that's choking out the Word of God. Because I want to tell you something this morning. God made it possible that the light shined out of the darkness so that we can know God, and that we could press to know God, so that we can know the knowledge of God in His glory. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God this morning. God wants us to know Him. He wants us to know everything about Him. He wants us to press. He wants us to draw. He says in the Word of God, if men be lifted up, I draw all men unto me. And how are you going to do that if you don't know the Lord? See, I want to know my Lord. Anybody else here want to know their Lord? I want to know my Lord. I want to know everything about my Lord that's possible for me to know in this carnal mind. And I don't want to just keep it. I want to share it. Because I know there's some gardens out there that's being overtaken by the weeds, and it's choking them out. It's choking the life right out of them. God says He sent His Son into this world that we might have life and life abundant. And listen, there's no need for us to struggle. There is no need for us to live and struggle, because God loves us. He made it possible so that we can have an abundant life. And just what does that mean, an abundant life? Does that mean material things? I count those as blessings. Amen. When you accepted Christ the day you did, when I accepted Christ that day, the abundant life that God says you could have is in knowing Him and receiving. See, all the benefits from God, those are benefits. The abundant life, man, I'm living an abundant life. I don't know about you, what kind of life you're living, but I am living the best life. I'm not no Joel Osteen this morning, but listen, I want to tell you, I'm living the best life right now. God says we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to live an abundant life. We can have it right now. We can be living it. If. There's always that two little letter word, if. Preacher, why you got to throw in the word if? There's always something. That little word, it says, if. You want an abundant life? I'm not talking about a bank full of money. I'm not talking about driving around in a limousine or a Cadillac, whatever you'd like to drive. I'm talking about, do you want an abundant life this morning? Do you want a life knowing your Lord? Do you want a life receiving God's love, God's grace? Man, I could use a little more grace. Could you? Anybody else? Can you use a little more grace of God this morning? Can you use a little more love of God this morning? I want those things. I want the Lord to increase. That's the abundance that God's talking about. He says, I want to increase your abundance. I want to increase your grace. I want to increase your love. I want to increase your compassion. I want to increase your mercy toward other people. That's the abundant life God says that we can have right now if we follow His instructions. If we take the Word of God and apply it to our hearts. Listen, go into your heart's garden and uproot those things that are hindering your work with the Lord. Uproot those things that are hindering your relationship with God. How many want to get closer to the Lord? Huh? How many? You want to get closer to the Lord? There's only one way to do it. You got to go inside your heart. You got to take the Word of God, and you got to uproot those weeds that are choking out, that are hindering the Word of God, that are hindering God Himself from doing a mighty work in your life. And that's the only way you're going to do it. Now let me share this with you. Wow. Let me share this with you. today. Wow, you know what? I'm gonna flip over and read this to you this morning because I think we all could use this. I think we could all need to hear this. Out of the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. Let me read this to you real quick this morning. And this, I think this will bless your heart this morning. And then I got to ask you a question. Acts chapter 3 this morning. Let me get over there real quick because I got a little bit more to share with you this morning. And I want you to see this morning in the Word of God. The Lord wants you to hear this today because somebody here probably needs to hear this. Somebody that you're going to meet on the outside of these church walls this week may need to hear this. Acts chapter 3 verses 19 and 20 says this to us this morning. And it says in the Word of God right here. It says, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that in times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that He may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus." Now I want to back up right here in verse 19. It says, "Then repent and turn to God." Listen, when I search my heart, and we're going to take communion here in just a few minutes, but the number one thing that we got to do before we have communion, we got to search our hearts. And we got to know, we got to see if there's anything that the Lord will reveal to us that is sin in our life. Listen, I don't mean you can't come to the table because I'm a sinner saved by grace this morning. That's what I am. I'm a sinner saved by grace. But yet, how many in here this morning could use a downpouring of the Lord? Huh? How many this morning could use some refreshing? Listen, you know all the troubles we go through? You know all the situations we all go through? Listen, I want to tell you what the Lord says. You know, the Lord has a funny way of getting our attention. You know, when He sees our garden that's all grown up, the Lord says, "Hey, Brother Phil's garden, everything okay? Brother Phil's garden has got some weeds in it. Brother Phil's garden is growed up a little bit, but he ain't paying no attention to it. His garden's being overtaken by weeds and he's not paying no attention to it." But you know what the Lord says? I got a way of getting his attention. Amen. The Lord's got a way of showing me and making me stop right in my tracks. And He says, "You know what, Phil? You got some work to do in your garden. You got to go out there and work your garden. You got to get those roots and those weeds out of your garden." But guess what happens after you get done working your garden? Guess what happens when the trials and the tribulations get past? The Lord says He Himself will refresh you. Anybody need a good refreshing from the Lord? Man, how great it is right after I've been out on that yard up there where I work. It's been so dusty, like working in the Sahara Desert. But then I have prayed. It's been days. It's been so hot up there and so dusty up there. Out there on that old forklift, that old dust is choking me to death. But then I look up in the sky. I have prayed to God, send some rain. And guess what? The rain would come. And then the refreshing would come. How great it is that when the Lord refreshes you. How great it is when the Lord rejuvenates you. How great it is when the Lord makes things anew. Praise God. Hallelujah this morning. That's the Lord that I'm talking about this morning. That's your Father God this morning that I'm talking about. He will refresh you. He will rejuvenate you. He will make things anew. And your heart can be like that every day when you get up in the morning. Instead of when Philip opened his eyes and man, this is going to be another tough day. What I need to do, I need to do a little growing. What I need to do, I need to thank the Lord because His promises, Paul says His promises are anew every morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's Word and His promises are anew every morning that we awake. Now listen, I'm going to finish with this morning. Just a few more words. But man, I could use a downpouring of the Lord. I don't know about you, but man, I want a downpouring of the Lord. Man, because if it's going to help me in any way, if it's going to increase my life, if it's going to bless other people in any way, man, I could use a downpouring of the Lord's love, His mercy, and His grace. And you know, the Lord says that we got to decrease and let Him increase. And that's what I'm looking for. I don't know about you, but that's what I'm looking for. Now, we don't never preach hardly ever out of this Bible or this book of the Bible. But I want to share with you really quick what Hosea chapter 6 and verse 1 through 3 says. Let me flip over there real quick. And we're almost done this morning. I got a lot more to share with you, but we got communion this morning. And I don't want to miss out on that. But over in Hosea chapter 6, let me just read real quickly to you what it says in these first few verses. Now listen, this is some encouragement from the Lord this morning. Hosea chapter 6 verses 1 through 3 says this. It says, "Come and let us return to the Lord, for He has torn, but He will heal us. He has stricken, but He will bind us up." And then it says, "After 2 days He will revive us. On the third day He will raise us up, that we may live in His sight." It says, "Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth." Now listen, I want to remind you once more that the Lord tells us that even though we are stricken, even though that we are torn, even though that we are binded up, the Lord is going to raise you up. The Lord is going to help you. The Lord is going to heal you. The Lord is going to set you free. And He does those things for one reason and one reason only, so that you will turn to Him and Him alone. The Lord wants us to worship and praise Him alone. He don't want nobody. He is a jealous God. He don't want no other gods before Him. But listen, He's going to help you. He's going to be there for you. He's going to heal you. And He's going to set you free from whatever you're dealing with. And He's going to increase you. Now listen, I got one more thing to share with you this morning. I got to share this with you. And then this is going to be it right here. Okay. Now this is it right here. If you haven't gotten anything else out of the message, you will from this. You know, I asked you at the beginning of the service this morning what was in your heart. And I asked you, what is growing there? And you know, I've been reading a book this week, and I run across it. I wish these were my words, but I'm quoting what I'm about to tell you from the book I read. So would you be in agreement with me today if I were to tell you that your doubt can become your faith? Would you be in agreement with me that? Would you even consider that this morning? Would you think with me that your doubt could become your faith? Because you know, I know a lot of people that doubt. And you know, they don't trust in the Lord, but their doubt is their faith. I used to be one of those people before Christ ever come along in my life. My doubt, my negativity, that was my faith. That was my joy. That was my fulfillment. Does that make any sense this morning? It wasn't God. I didn't think God could help me. I didn't even think God was real. I didn't even think that the church that I am a part of now, not this church, but just the church in general, I thought they were all phonies. And that's what I've always been taught, though. That's why we never went to church as a kid. As a boy, I always asked my parents, "Why don't we go to church like everybody else?" And that's what my mom would tell me. All the people in the church are phonies. They're not real. And that's why I was so discouraged about church people. Elders come to my house when I was out there in Hansville living on Edmondson Road. They come to my house and I figure out they was elders. Okay, I wouldn't have talked to you. Terry, Deanne, I'd have told y'all to hit the road. They just want me in that church so I can be another number. They want something from me, and I'm not willing to give it. But see, I was dead wrong, because that was my faith then. You know, your defeat can become your victory. I know that don't make much sense to you at the moment, but think about that today. Think about your defeat becoming your victory. That is your victory. But let me tell you something real, real clearly this morning. I used to live a defeated life. Anybody else? I used to be so defeated. Satan didn't even have to try. He didn't even have to try to stop me. Because he knew I was defeated. I was a weak, helpless, defeated individual. I was out, unprotected from the hand of God. I wasn't covered in the blood of Christ. I lived a defeated, discouraged life every single day. But now let me make something real clear to you real quick, and then we're going to have communion. The day I accepted Jesus Christ, and I don't care if you're getting, here he goes again, preaching this again. Here he's going to say this again about when he accepted Christ. Listen, the day I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, victory came in. Defeat left. You're not defeated this morning, church family. If you're a child of God, you're not defeated this morning. You are victorious this morning. I didn't just conquer. I didn't conquer Christ. I gained victory. They didn't conquer Christ when they hung him on the cross. He gained the victory over death, hell, and the grave for you and me this morning, for all generations to come. He has the victory this morning. Christ, God, holds the keys this morning to death, hell, and the grave. God holds the keys in his hand this morning. I'm victorious this morning. You're victorious this morning. You're joyous this morning. Your joy is running over this morning. You just don't know it. So stop living in doubt. Stop living in discouragement. Stop letting it be your faith. Live the life that God's given you. A fulfilled life. And you say, well, how do you know my life's fulfilled? I know it is. My life's fulfilled because Christ made it possible for me to have a fulfilled life. And I'm thankful to God for that today. And I hope that you are too. Now then, we're going to pray. We're going to pray with the people that's watching here on Facebook this morning. And then we're going to have communion here in just a second. So let's bow together this morning and we'll have prayer and we'll close that part of the service this morning. Heavenly Father, most gracious God, Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. God, we thank you for the spiritual hearts that we have this morning, that our gardens are growing and doing well. Lord, I pray that you would search our hearts this morning, Lord. I pray, Heavenly Father, that if there are any hindrances, if there are any weeds in our hearts this morning, Heavenly Father, that are growing, that are choking out your word, that are choking out your presence, God, I pray that you would uproot those weeds, Lord. Let them be cast aside, Heavenly Father. Let them be cast into the oven, into the fiery furnace, Heavenly Father, and burn up, Heavenly Father. And God, we thank you for those that are watching on Facebook today, Lord. We pray a mighty blessing in their lives today, God. Lord, we pray you remove all hindrances today, Heavenly Father, right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Not later, but right now, Heavenly Father. God, to be one on the sound of my voice in this church today, Lord, that are under the bondage or hindrances of the faith. God, I pray that you would help them, bless them, Lord. Touch them, Heavenly Father. Set them free, God. Lord, your word said if you are free, then you are free indeed, Heavenly Father. And God, that's the way we want to be. We want to be free in you, not in the world, but we want to be free in you today, Heavenly Father. And God, now we ask you to lead and guide us by the direction and the power of the Holy Spirit, God. Empower us, Lord, to live our lives each day and walk in your steps. Walk in the path, Lord, that you lay before us. And God will give you the glory, honor, and praise. And we humbly ask this now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.